And we're back, folks, with Chapter 5 of the in-depth look at the comprehensive plan here on KYMN Radio. This is the chapter on infrastructure, getting into some of the things that the city operates right now, like water, stormwater, solid waste, and wastewater, and other key infrastructure, streets, trails, streetlights, you know, boulevard trees. All of that is included in infrastructure. Like every chapter, we start with what we heard from the public. So what did we hear about our infrastructure we have at Northfield?
You know, I don't know that we heard a lot of comments directly about infrastructure. We did hear a lot about wanting to make sure that water was safe, wanting to make sure that things like, well, can we do more with recycling and composting and try and reduce kind of our solid waste volume? And considering just in terms of the costs of services to make sure that, you know, please don't price us out of Northfield. You know, if everything keeps going, you know, if water, sewer keep getting more and more expensive, I won't be able to live here. So, you know, this is the public input, I think, is a little more indirect. But if people tell us that they care a lot about sustainability, infrastructure plays a huge role in that in terms of how we build it, how we make sure we protect resources, as, you know, like the Cannon River, for instance, and certainly for cost. We've already talked a little bit about how, you know, if you build large, low-density places, you need a lot of infrastructure, but you don't get a lot of taxpayers to pay for it. So thinking in terms of as well as how we pay for it. And a lot of this, I think, is thinking about how we bring our infrastructure planning into the, you know, mid-21st century as opposed to the early part. The plans that we have, Northfield adopted a lot of plans in, say, 2004 to 2008. And things like the sewer plan and the water plan are all built on land use models in terms of where, how much you're going to grow and what kind of development you're going to have. And a lot of that has changed. And so part of this is saying, you need to update your models so you know whether you have the capacity and can provide things, you know, cost effectively. And then the other piece of it, of course, is the climate resilience. You know, is our infrastructure ready for flooding, extreme heat, tornadoes, and those kinds of things? And some of the infrastructure is out of our control, you know, electricity and a few other things. You know, we care about those, but we have to kind of wait for Xcel to expand their grid so we could expand solar, or we have to wait for other things.
Sure. I won't lie. This is the chapter that I think is, and it's still somewhat in a little bit, I think, in growth is this chapter too, as this is, again, not the final plan. But it's the one that sometimes it's really hard to make wastewater interesting to folks because you don't worry about it until it's a problem.
Well, I was about to say, most of these things, everyone, you know, as long as the toilet flushes and the water that comes out of the tap are good, people are not thinking about that. I mean, I think some of our more climate-aware people, you know, are thinking about composting, other things. But yeah, it's something that the better we do it, the more invisible it should be.
Sure.
So, and this is, I think, this chapter is more a call to, are we ready for the climate we live in now and what we can anticipate? And also bringing online things like blue and green infrastructure. Like, are we, you know, treating our, you know, wetlands, Cannon River, park systems as part of how we manage rain, for instance, and other things. So trying to bring online some of the other natural assets that we have.
And I have to imagine that this is a great example, the comp plan informing other plans like the capital improvement plan, for example.
Very much so,
or absolutely.
Other updating plans that are much more long-term, because we're talking about this over 20 years.
This also, I think, reflects new understanding of how municipal or sort of government-maintained infrastructure can and should work for the future. So in the past, certainly when the 2008 plan was completed, it was really more about ensuring that people could get as quickly as possible to where they needed to go versus as safely as possible, and that the water and wastewater was more about just making sure you know, that it was seamless, that nobody noticed, right, that they had a problem. But as time goes by, we've learned more about how to stack things so that they are more effective and more efficient, how to both prepare for large amounts of water, but also when we don't have a lot of water. Mm-hmm. For example, when there's not enough snow in a winter time, then we have not enough water, generally. True. And we are in a situation in the nation where we have more water than other people. Mm. Both in our, we have very healthy aquifers throughout the state. But that means making sure that we're planning for that to be sustainable for the foreseeable future. In a place base, so from the city's standpoint. And one of the things I like, my favorite, yes, you're right, nobody really cares about their sanitary sewer system until it fails them. But one of the things that I think it's important to think about here in Northfield, and really anywhere, but in Northfield, we have both Northfield and Dundas together operating on the same wastewater treatment plant, which is great. That is a superior situation to having a bunch of septic systems which have negative externalities. Mm-hmm. For example, you really don't want the waste in those to escape their confines. But it also means that we need to be able to support the people who live here. So that does constrain our growth to some extent. And it also, though, gives us a framework for efficient operation of that system. So efficient operation of systems is based on how many people, and really it's about how many flushing toilets are flushed and how often those are flushed, really. But that's an important, that is one of the most important things that the city provides to two different entities, is making sure that we have safe sanitary sewer systems. That also means making sure that there's not extra water coming into that system from somewhere else. And then also making sure that we can continue to support Dundas's growth as well. Because frankly, we're both part of the same ecosystem and we're both part of the same school district. And so ensuring that the two communities can be successful together is really important.
Is there any strategies in this chapter that you think particularly affect the public in any particular way? Again, like, this is something that we don't see often until it is an issue, right? But we've talked a lot about the climate resilience of some of these programs, just building for the future, future-proofing. But is there any other strategies you really want to talk about? Otherwise, we'll jump on to Chapter 6.
I mean, I think the thing that the public should care about, although, again, it tends to be a little more invisible, is the choices that the city makes for this. These are sort of their core services that mm-hmm. a city provides and nobody else is going to do. I mean, we've already talked about, you know, a lot of this is we're expecting the private market to build homes and to, you know, mm-hmm. develop businesses. And this is something that is pure city and taxpayer supported. And so having the city do a really good job of this to make sure that we are planning for what we need now, mm-hmm. for the life cycle of those facilities, and we, you know, expand or repair or replace them before it's too late. And generally trying to make really good decisions about our infrastructure, I think, is something people should care about, even if it's hard to know about. And I think we did a lot of building. This is not just Northfield. It's everybody, you know, for instance, in the early part of this century and other things. So we've put in a lot. And we need to be thinking about all the growth between like 1995 and 2005. We did a lot. Mm-hmm. All that infrastructure is going to need to be replaced in the, you know, the foreseeable future. Are mm-hmm. we planning for that, or are we going to wait for something to fail? And I certainly hope that this plan will help us plan for repair and replacement and upgrading as need be, so we keep it in good shape and keep costs down.
Sure. And also in that same sort of vein is the other infrastructure that we may not have full control over, for example, access and implementation of broadband infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So how people get their news, their television, their internet, which is important for education and employment and all of those things. So one of the things that I think it's obvious to the general community that the housing market has sort of failed to continue to produce what people really need. We can see that in some of these other areas where private enterprise provides the service, but doesn't have to. So that's true for broadband infrastructure. It's also true for three things. Sorry, broadband infrastructure. So internet, TV, cable, etc. The solid waste, so your garbage, your recycling, your organics, mm-hmm. And then also energy. Yeah. Yes, yeah. But also
yeah.
energy.
Yeah, yeah. Excel. Yeah, yeah.
So right now, Northfield is beholden to one energy provider, which is true for much of Minnesota, but not all of Minnesota, mm-hmm. and it's a private enterprise. So it's regulated by the state government, but it's still a private enterprise, mm-hmm. and. We know that there are other ways to go about having energy mm-hmm. And providing energy for the community. So part of this chapter, when it's fully fleshed out, will set the stage for figuring out where and when there might be opportunities for the city to influence that and ensure that construction that we're doing that when we're doing construction projects, sure. in part, because you can, if you bury your power lines, they are more less susceptible mm-hmm. To climate impacts. And the most cost effective way to do that is when you're already tearing up a street. So sure. those things go together in that the infrastructure chapter associated with the economic sustainability of that infrastructure. It's not just the roads. It's not just the curbs. It's not just the trees, because mm-hmm. the trees are also very important. Mm-hmm. But it's also what happens under there, whether that's broadband, whether that's a different type of power source. For example, all of Carlton is planned to be powered by renewables, and they are planning to expand their geothermal system. Mm-hmm. Geothermal, this is a pretty, we've done research to see that this is a highly, highly implementable geothermal opportunity for the rest of the city. But how do we do that?
Sure.
Is there a good and efficient and cost-effective way to do that? So that also falls under the infrastructure. It's not just what you see on top. Yeah. Underneath is important too.
And that's chapter 5, folks, infrastructure. We're going to move directly on to chapter 6, implementation, wrapping up the comp plan. We're on to the last chapter. We're almost done. Some people cheering, I'm sure, and at home listening. But the implementation chapter really is figuring out how does this influence the day-to-day actions of the staff, the other boards and commissions, the city council. And you start with kind of this, you know, we've talked about how it influences all these other plans, the capital improvement plan, the strategic plan, which the city council is going to be taking up this spring as well, and all these other plans that the city has. And you have also a matrix that helps lay out how this connects to other plans or are working on. Again, we're still working, finishing up. This is kind of the final draft. Talk about your vision for this chapter and how it helps communicate how to implement this plan.
Well, I'll talk about all the other plans. Sure. Northfield has a lot of plans.
Which is also part of this chapter, is all the other plans in Northfield.
And I think perhaps it could be said that we've overplanned. And one of the things that we hope this plan will do is to take all of those other plans and say what happens to them. Some may be superseded. It's like, nope, we've replaced that with this one. So like the former comprehensive plan, it's like, mm-hmm. it's, you know, old news now. But for the other ones, some may need to be updated, like our infrastructure plans, for mm-hmm. instance, since they're getting to be 20 years old and we've changed a lot of the assumptions around town. Others, like some of our bike planning, park planning, we need to establish what is still valid and what we can dispense with. And part of this is for staff. So when they go to review projects and put together the information for board and commission or for the council, they don't have to have this list of plans that they've checked it against. They have one plan to check it against to make sure that the guidance is clear. Mm-hmm. And I think sort of cleaning up that plan confusion is a big thing.
And folks, if you look on the plan right now towards the end, it's literally a table with all the different plans Northfield has right now explaining what's in those plans, if they're being completely, the year they were made, if they're being replaced, partially incorporated, or complete, like, deleted right. altogether, right?
Right.
And there's a good mix. I mean, I counted, what did I say in my notes? I didn't put it, oh. Foolish me did not put how many there was down, but there is a significant
there are four pages number. I think I just counted.
Yeah, it's
so.
Four pages of this table.
Right.
So probably 10, plus plans, maybe close to even 20.
I think the other piece is we have, I think, three planning tool, planning and implementation tools that happen frequently. Mm-hmm. One is the strategic plan that the council is working on now. I mean, we've already talked about this is a 20-year horizon for the comprehensive plan. Well, strategic plan is like 3 to 5 years. And it's setting those shorter-term goals, establishing outcomes that can get measured, and then tracking that progress. Using this plan when building the strategic plan is an amazing way to say, all right, in the next 3 to 5 years, what do we focus on from this plan?
Sure.
And really carry it into action.
And we can use that base, we can identify that 3 to 5 year plan on, you know, what is needed today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's very, like, now focused to get us to that aspiration. And there are 30 plans on the table, by the way.
30 plans. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm also hoping that the strategic plan will be more strategic this time in terms of how will it focus the city's ability to allocate limited resources. Our previous strategic plans had priorities that were identified in terms of important subjects, but there wasn't a sense of these are the measurable goals, mm-hmm. and we've looked at how we can afford those within the, you know, revenue that we can expect to generate or receive or whatever. And so I'm hoping that the strategic plan will be very strategic that way. The next one is the capital improvement plan. And, you know, this is a 5-year plan, but we update it every year, so it's kind of this rolling 5-year mm-hmm. window, which is a huge piece of how we do a lot of the infrastructure pieces and the kind of the city work. So that's another place where I hope we will get a lot more strategic and be thinking about not just does the pavement need replacing, which is important, but also when that pavement needs to be replaced, what else can we do to meet the goals of the comprehensive plan? Or are there other things that need to happen right now because we need them for safety to maintain infrastructure or other things? And the other thing is the annual budget, because after all, that's where the money gets spent, where things get done. So actually planning the budget in, you know, conjunction with the comprehensive plan would be a huge step forward.
And okay, maybe question about past comprehensive plans. Has this table of plans we retire, plans we incorporate, has that been a table we've had before? Is this new to this plan?
It's new to this plan.
Okay.
Our previous comprehensive plan did things like incorporate other plans. Since the 2008 comprehensive plan, there was also the 2008 parks plan and the 2008 transportation plan and the 2006 sewer plan. So they were all kind of
at the same time.
At the same time. And so the comprehensive plan kind of roped some of those in and said, for like, we had a transportation chapter, which basically said, go read the comprehensive transportation plan. Mm-hmm. And since we've taken a little bit different approach with the comprehensive plan, we also need to think about what of our other plans need to be updated.
Sure.
And so one of the things that the implementation chapter will show when we get to a final adopted version is sort of two things. One, it'll, I think, the intent is to highlight which things should come first when it comes to updating those systems plans, mm-hmm. like the wastewater plan or surface water management, or do we need to have a drinking water supply plan, which this community has not had in the past, but a lot of communities are adopting due to, chemical effluent from major manufacturers. That chapter will outline some of the plans to be adopted or recreated. But the other thing it'll do is it will set out sort of the work plan for the Planning Commission, and a component of that is evaluating the plan on a regular basis to see what we have learned in the time since the last time it was evaluated, and if there are opportunities to amend the plan or seek out amendments, and then adopting any new planning documents as either appendices to this plan mm-hmm. or amendments to the plan. For example, I think some of the master planning work that's being done should be on parks should be incorporated into this plan. And I think you can see pretty clearly how the climate action plan has been incorporated into this plan, specifically to the city's places where the city has influence, and also the riverfront enhancement action plan, also incorporating that into the plan. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to say is that this also sets the stage for a complete overhaul of the land development code, or the zoning code. So zoning is, as I mentioned in the earlier session, is how is the rules associated with how land is used. And we have a great zoning code that gets us where we want to go, but it is hard to read because it's kind of like Frankenstein's monster. It's been put together by a bunch of really smart people over time, but it doesn't have a coherent look or feel to it. And so it makes it hard for developers to sort of figure out how to get done what we want them to get done. So the first step for the planning department, following adoption of this comprehensive plan, is to set down that path of completely overhauling the zoning code to ensure that we can achieve the goals we've set out for ourselves in terms of having abundant, safe housing, a more robust and kind of sustainable tax base, etc.
Anything else you have about implementation or the entirety of the comp plan? Did we do it? Did we get to the end? Did we accomplish it? We made it?
I'll say this. You know, one of the challenges, I usually, when I talk to people about this, when they say, oh, you're on the planning commission, you know, what's that about? And I usually talk to them about plans and projects. And it's usually harder to get people excited about plans because they're a little more removed from things that are happening right in your day-to-day life.
Sure.
And certainly the comprehensive plan is one of those. But then when we get to projects, the comprehensive plan is what has set the guardrails for those projects to begin with. So if you think about projects that have happened, you need to look back to the comprehensive plan for sort of how it was, you know, framed as what needs to get done. So trying to make it more relevant for people saying any of those city projects have their roots in the comprehensive plan. So that's one thing. And then the other thing I tell people is, you know, if they want to have a little thought experiment about comprehensive plans and sort of how they shape what we do, as I sort of tell people to, like, start at downtown and start heading south. You know, whether you head south on Division Street or Maple Street or, you know, pick your street. And you can kind of see how we changed how we do things. You know, right near downtown, it's our 300 by 300 grid. The houses are all facing the street. Parks are kind of in the middle and all the houses face them, sidewalks on all sides, street trees. And the farther south you go, the houses get, you know, ranch houses, garages move closer to the street, houses move back farther from the street, parks are behind buildings, you know, things get more separated. So you can see how our earlier planning efforts shaped what the community looks and feels like. Mm-hmm. And it's not a very big community still, so doesn't take that long to walk or drive from the middle of town all the way to the southern edge to see sort of how that has evolved. And a lot of that has been comprehensive planning.
Well, I want to say extend a huge thank you to you both taking some time out of your a significant amount of time. This has been a 2-hour long recording session between the three of us, and I really appreciate you both coming in, talking through this plan. I know we've had you in once a month for the last 19 months, and we appreciate that too, but now it really is sharing the last little information. So thank you both for coming in.
And I continue to thank KYMN for spending so much time with local news. I think it's really important.
Agreed. And thank you for your time.
Of course. The next steps of the comprehensive plan, it goes to the Planning Commission for a special meeting in March.
And then our regular meeting in March, we should make a recommendation to the council. And then they will act in April.
April. All right. We'll be back with some, I assume, one kind of final recap of any changes that might happen to the comprehensive plan, a shorter appendix, if you will, that we'll have. Jake, Betsy, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks,
Logan. You too.
Listeners, thank you for listening. You can find all the information about this plan on our website, kymnradio.net. Have a great rest of your day.